Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. At the most basic level, we're asking the court to confirm that fee simple ownership of real estate includes ownership of the plants that are attached to and growing on that real estate. This is a core principle of property law, and it applies equally to the intertidal area as it does to the upland. As the court said in Bell 2, quote, title to the shore is as ample as to the upland. And that is true, save for the rights that are reserved in the public trust doctrine. Now, those public trust doctrine rights are access rights. The public trust doctrine does not allocate ownership rights of resources in the intertidal area. And as the court held in Hill v. Lord, it said, quote, seaweed belongs to the owner of the soil on which it grows or is deposited. That statement by the court in Hill v. Lord was based on the same exact set of facts that are before the court in this appeal. It was not, the reasoning was not, did not have to do with alluvion. That was a separate part of the Hill decision that dealt with floating seaweed. Hill treated both attached and cast seaweed. And so it's completely relevant and on point. In fact, it's the only case in Maine or anywhere else that squarely dealt with the facts in front of the court today. In addition, that same year in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court in Anthony v. Gifford said that seaweed that, quote, may justly be said to be attached to the soil, unquote, is the property of the littoral landowner. Thus, under both Maine and Massachusetts common law, for over 150 years, the court, the operative common law has been that the attached intertidal seaweed is owned by the intertidal landowner. And those cases are simply confirmations and applications of the bedrock core property law principle, irrespective of the public trust doctrine, that says that plants that are attached to and growing on private property are owned by the property owner. And that wild animals, such as oysters, clams, mussels, etc., are public property that are owned in trust by the state for in trust for the public. Now, in Horn versus Department of Department of Agriculture in 2015, the United States Supreme Court Chief Justice Roberts said, quote, oysters are fere naturae that belong to the state under state law. Okay, all of the animals, all of the rights under the public trust doctrine that the court has held are public rights. They deal with public resources that are publicly owned under a completely different set of law. They do not allocate property rights to those items to the public. The public trust doctrine allows access across the intertidal land.
Mr. Smith, I want to take you back to Anthony v. Gifford. Out of Massachusetts in the 1861. Thank you. In that case, the language used by the Massachusetts court indicated an understanding that the seaweed at issue actually drew nutrients from the seafloor, that it was somehow ordinarily rooted in the dirt, the soil of the sea, became detached, floated on the waves, and came up upon the sand. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about seaweed that actually has a biological mechanism that allows it to hitch to a rock, not to draw nutrients, because it will draw those nutrients from the sea and from the air and whatever photosynthesis it can do.
Mm-hmm.
It is not the same seaweed that the Massachusetts court was talking about.
Well, the two things.
Or is it?
It's the statement by the court that seaweed that can be deemed to be attached is then the property of the owner of the soil is a legal concept that doesn't rely on where the roots, whether or not the roots.
It's not a product of the soil. It's not a profit of the soil.
Well, to the extent that the question about does rockweed take nutrients in through its roots is relevant, it's not relevant to a legal distinction because upland plants use public resources, sunlight, rainwater, air. These are all public resources. They're growing in the public, in air that is not privately owned, taking sunlight that is not privately owned. The same as as rockweed.
But in order
doing.
To invoke the common law to override the department's broad encompassing of marine organisms, don't you have to loop it back to the common law, which connected it with the soil, a product like things growing out of the soil?
Absolutely, but product of the soil is not limited to having roots in the soil that extract nutrients. That's not what product of the soil means. Product of the soil can be quarrying stone. It can be, cases in Massachusetts have said that taking seaweed is a profit of Prandra. The fact that something takes nutrients out of roots in the soil is not relevant to the legal distinction of going onto someone's property and taking an item that's attached to it, that's a resource attached to and growing on that private property.
Well,
and removing it.
Isn't it also based upon an understanding that you are changing the landscape by removing something like that? Is harvesting rockweed changing the landscape?
Absolutely. Rockweed is a habitat-forming seaweed. It is a key element of the Gulf of Maine food web. It's a basic building block. And so this is not like mowing grass. This is removing everything down to 16 inches above the holdfast, which meaning all of the biomass of the plant.
Your brief, I think it was your brief, and certainly some of the amici briefs indicate the concern about basically denuding the rocks of the seaweed and causing, significant environmental change. But that's something, if it was a concern, could be regulated by the state or federal governments, correct?
Absolutely, by the state government, I think.
So why are we have to consider that?
Because the issue of regulation and the issue of ownership are two distinct questions. Yes, my clients urge DMR to heavily regulate the rockweed harvest. They are concerned about its overharvest. That can be done irrespective of whether it's private or public.
And that can achieve then the environmental concerns that you were talking about in response to the last question.
If DMR did that, but they have not.
Is this a case that's really suitable for decision on a summary judgment? I mean, the record in this case is pretty limited. There was a joint statement of material fact. I mean, a counsel are to be commended to cooperate to create that product. Then there were a couple of articles, scientific articles, that were attached to that, all submitted by agreement for the court to consider. But it seems to me that the analytical foundation for the court's decision were a couple of statements in the Hill case, which was issued Civil War era. I would like to think that biological science has moved forward, in the last 150 years. Isn't this the kind of case where there should be a more fully developed explanation to the court about the nature of rockweed? I mean, it seems to have some characteristics that are similar to plants, some that might be similar to animals. And this is an algae that's sort of somewhere in between. But isn't this a case where there should be a more well-developed factual explication of what algae is, and then let the court decide what the legal effects of those findings would be?
I think the facts necessary for the court to reach the legal conclusion are here in the record. It's stipulated by the parties that rockweed is a marine plant. Its basic, biology is stipulated by the parties. And to the extent that Hill v. Lord may have been thinking something else, that has not been identified. We don't know. The appellant has not identified any specific difference in biological science that would call into question.
But you agree that the Hill opinion had no discussion about the science of rockweed or seaweed, simply said that it's the product of the soil. We also know that there's a factual error in Hill, because the Hill court said that seaweed grows on beaches, which is not correct. So we know that there is at least that much of a misunderstanding about what seaweed really is.
Absolutely, and that may have been a different type of seaweed than rockweed, or it might have been rockweed and other types of seaweed, and they were talking about seaweed that was both growing in the soil and growing in the flats and cast up on shore.
And you're being generous in characterizing those as uncertainties as opposed to errors, but even if there are those uncertainties, doesn't that cast into question the reliability of the information and the conclusion that was reached in Hill?
It doesn't, because Hill is simply codifying, is simply a reiteration of general common law principles that plants, rockweed is a plant, it's stipulated as a plant, that are attached to and growing on private land are the property of the fee title owner.
And what about Ms. Connor's argument with regard to this statute?
Section 22A does not control this appeal. As the court said, the first question the court needs to answer is, what is the common law right here? And then, in order to know what the permissible scope of Section 22A is, the first question is, what is the common law right? And to the extent the court thinks that that is a right that is ambiguous and needs to be determined, that's the court's job in this
What has been the custom in the state of Maine? Do we have facts on this? Do we not have facts that indicate that the custom has been to treat rockweed as a marine organism that is available to the public and to the upland owner?
I don't think that the record does not indicate that that has been the uniform custom. There's evidence in the record that the right to harvest rockweed has been conveyed, reserved, and transferred, alienated by deed, such in the same sense as any other property interest. It's a property interest that was deemed to be appurtenant to the real estate.
What do we do with the Marshall language that says the owner and the public enjoy rights in common with regard to this particular organism?
Well, Marshall didn't say anything about attached intertidal rockweed. Marshall said, as in dictum that's unsupported by legal authority, analysis, or facts relevant to the case, that sea manure, well, the right to harvest sea manure was within the scope of the public trust doctrine. But the definition of sea manure is far too ambiguous to...
So Marshall is too ambiguous, but Hill is clear?
I think if you look at these two cases, Hill was about the harvest of attached intertidal seaweed.
But if you
Marshall
read,
was had nothing to
if
do
if you
with
read
that.
Marshall, isn't a reasonable interpretation of Marshall that they're primarily talking about seaweed, kelp, things like that?
I think that is not necessarily the inference that should be drawn from Marshall. Marshall, the definition of sea manure has been held to be items that are cast up on the shore that are organic detritus.
Right, and that's mostly, seaweed by however you want to characterize it. Seaweed, rockweed, kelp, whatever that gets cast up on the shore. It's not talking about dead fish cast up on the shore.
It very well could be. When things are cast up on the shore, they're not neatly arranged in piles. People would come and take them. Now, to the extent that they were taking items that were cast up on the shore without the landowner's permission, those are also privately held rights to that, that accreted material on private land, whether it be intertidal or upland.
Can you, here's your challenge of the day. What is the holding of the court if you prevail in a single sentence? Where is the line drawn?
That the public trust doctrine is totally outside the scope of this case. The public trust doctrine is an access easement. It doesn't allocate property rights. The law that the court should look at are background principles of property law, and for hundreds, if not thousands of years, that property law has held that plants attached to and growing on the soil are the property of the landowner.
If I can, let me ask you about your fairly narrow understanding of the colonial ordinance and the public trust doctrine. I mean, we've held that the public may fish, fowl, or navigate on the privately owned land for pleasure as well as business and sustenance. That's talking about more than getting to the intertidal area. That's talking about actually doing things when the public gets there. So is it sort of your story and you're sticking to it that the public trust doctrine only allows access to the intertidal area for things that the public has a right to do based on independent legal authority?
The independent legal authority I would direct the court to is McGarvey v. Wittridge, in which the Chief Justice's concurrence made abundantly clear and repeatedly identified the public trust doctrine as an access easement. The concurrence said that the public trust doctrine was, quote, a right to cross the intertidal zone to reach the ocean, unquote.
Because there are other bases for the use of the marine organisms. the access doesn't come through the doctrine. Only access comes through the doctrine, not use of the sea.
Not the ownership. The ownership rights.
Well, what's the use of the sea? Where does that come from?
That is a general statement. There's never been a test articulated or a holding articulated that says the public trust doctrine is anything related to use of the sea. The public trust doctrine has been, you know, the current law is that it must be related to fishing, fowling, and navigation. That means access to the water to do those activities.
So the public can cross the intertidal zone to fish?
Correct.
Can they fish for rockweed?
That's not fishing.
It's not fishing.
No.
Who says?
But they can clam.
Yes, they can clam, and those are wild animals. They can clam because those are wild animals, and they have all of these items in the public trust doctrine that are deemed public trust doctrine rights. Those items are publicly held under a completely separate body of law under core background principles of property law that govern, you know, ownership of wild animals,
then
plants.
If you don't prevail. In this case, then, it really would make no difference in terms of harvesting rockweed because you, as we've talked about the previous precedents, talks about access across the land to get at these recreational or fishing activities. If you do not prevail, then a person could either harvest the rockweed by boat or by, you know, a truck coming over and just picking it up on the land and taking it in through the land, correct?
Depending on the court's holding, yes.
Well, no.
Assuming that there is other access to the intertidal zone from the land itself.
Well, in this case, Acadian Sea Plants, the defendant says, we don't set foot on intertidal land. We harvest from boats. Now, if
the precedent is established that this is harvestable by anyone because it's part of the public trust, what's to limit, considering the precedent we've already set with regard to access? What's to limit persons crossing the land to do this harvest?
If it's considered to be public property, then none. Then it would be within the public's right to cross intertidal land to harvest it.
Don't all of these arguments circle back to what is rockweed?
To some extent, yes.
For the common law,
yes,
right?
It circles back to it's a plant. It's not the question that the Chief Justice asked, is it more like a tree, or that you asked, Your Honor, is it more like hay, or is it more like a clam?
Is it something in between? If you have seaweed that has roots into the earth from which it's drawing nutrients, and it's removed from that, it dies and washes to the shore. Rockweed is attached by a hard fast, which in my mind I liken to like an anchor. It doesn't provide nutrients. It just provides an anchor to the rock that can become detached and relocate somewhere else. But during that transition, the rockweed remains alive. It still gets its nutrients from its source, the sea.
That is true. There is floating rockweed.
Okay,
I think that is a distinction without necessarily having significance because, for example, there are upland plants that do not extract nutrients from roots embedded in the soil. They are plants that do not have roots. They attach themselves to a hard
mushrooms.
Substrate.
You mean mushrooms?
Lichen.
Stuff like that?
Hydroponic tomatoes do not need soil. So, but we're back to if the rockweed has let go, its holdfast has not worked, and it is floating on the ocean,
yes.
You would agree that that is available to any member of the public who can reach it by
yes.
some legal means.
Yes.
Until that hard fast finds a rock on somebody else's intertidal
but it does,
zone.
Rockweed does not reattach.
Does not?
No.
So once it begins a journey after a bad storm or something has occurred, it is not reattaching to anybody's rocks.
That's correct. It does not have the ability to do that in the way that a bivalve does have the ability.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.